Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started just so we make sure we get everybody's questions fit into the day. My name is Stacy Kendall, and I am one of the children's ministers at Memorial Drive Church of Christ. And I am excited to have a lot of wonderful friends here to share with you just a wealth of knowledge in children's ministry. I think I found some really good people to come up here. And so I wanted to explain to you what is going on with the track. The way all the classes are designed this year is in track form. And so this hour and the next hour are both children's ministry classes. And the first hour we will have a panel, and the second hour we will have a speaker. Hello, ladies. So I'm going to, before we introduce our panel, I would like to introduce our speaker that will be speaking at 10 o'clock. Sorry, Stacey, I didn't prepare you for this. This is Stacey Woodruff right here, and she is one of the children's ministers at James Church of Christ. I haven't really gotten to know Stacey until this week. She has been wonderful. She and Debbie, the other children's minister at James, have totally agreed. I didn't even ask. They came and volunteered last year. Do you want us to take Bible Hour for workshop next year? And I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, that would be great. And they have done a tremendous job. Stacey is obviously very creative. She's got a great heart. She is a mother of six, and she still has time to be very creative and be a children's minister. And she, let's see, I am... have a form right here. I'm going to read. She wrote about herself. She has her bachelor's degree in psychology from Oklahoma Christian, and she fell in love teaching Sunday school while helping her church's VBS when she was 12 years old. And that love and passion has grown and blossomed while she was a missionary in Scotland. And she was volunteered in many churches, and now she's a children's minister at James. So anyway, I really look forward to y'all listening to what she has to say. I'm excited about what she has to say because I've got to see her in action the last few nights, and I've been like, wow, she's great, and appreciate her so much already. So anyway, so now for our children's ministry panel. These people I know from various times in my life, and so I will go ahead and... figure out how to work a PowerPoint. We can get started. They're not sitting in the same order I did this. I forgot to label their chairs. So right here in the black hat is Connie Davis. And Connie lives in Duncanville, Texas, where she's a children's minister there. And I will go ahead and read. She is from a church. I'm going to kind of explain to you their church makeup and their family makeup. And the reason is, in a little while, we're going to open up to you asking them questions. And I think some of the questions that we're going to start out with and their introductions will help you be familiar with where they're coming from. So if you have a question that you want to direct toward one of them, you might know best who to direct it to. So Connie is from a congregation of about 800 folks. There's about 200 kids in the cradle roll, from cradle roll to sixth grade. It's a very diverse church in race and culture, and they strive to be a family ministry church. She says, we tore down the silos last fall, and they meet the needs of every stage of life. And Connie has been married to Jim for 33 years this May. They have two daughters. She's been a Christian for 32 of those years. She's a lifelong volunteer, and she became a preschool director in 2001 and a children's minister in 2006. She opened a child care center in October, and she says she needs her head examined. Was I supposed to read that one?
Yes. That kind of sums it up.
All right, Laura Lathrop right here. Laura is a children's minister at Mayfair Church of Christ in Oklahoma City. And Laura, her official title is Children's Outreach and Education Minister. Mayfair is a church of about 200, a large portion of those being in older middle class, and is located in an increasingly inner city location. Within the children's ministry, the nursery consists of 22 children ages 0 to 3 years, and pre-kindergarten through 6th grade is made up of about 16 children that are members and about 20 children from the community. And Laura graduated from Oklahoma Christian University with a degree in children's ministry in December of 2009, and has been working with Mayfair for about 4 years. She works part-time and is responsible for everything pertaining to children's outreach, which include the bus ministry on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, a mentoring program, and any other activities for or communication with our community families. Okay. Next on the list is Will Spoon. Will gave me a limited amount of information, so I'm allowed to tell you whatever I want about Will. So, if it's true or not, you can't tell me. I've actually known Will since I was about 13 or 14 years old. He was my youth minister for some time, and he served as a children's minister. He's very special to me. He's probably one of the main people that inspired me to love to work with kids. He let me teach all the time when I was that age, and he had me doing Bible Hour. I was doing a little five-year-old class all the time. So he's a neat guy, and I knew I wanted Will here because he, you know, he's like, he's the guy that knows children's ministry in my mind. So what he wrote is that he's been in ministry for 20 years, 18 as children's minister. He's currently children's minister at Park Plaza Church of Christ in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's been married for 16 years, and he has three children, Titus 9, Levi 6, and Emma 5. And Will, can you tell us kind of the makeup of your church?
Park Plaza has about 1,500 members. We are, we have three services, a fully Spanish-speaking service, a deaf service, and then our main service, which we have an early and a late service for that. I have about 350 kids in my ministry. We do a lot of outreach. Missions is a huge part of our church. We're not really inner city, but we are kind of in the middle of Tulsa, and we cater to a lot of different socioeconomic backgrounds, but we're a very diversified group.
Very good. Thank you. All right. And last, but definitely not least, is Linda Scott, and she is also from Memorial Drive Church of Christ, which is where I'm from, so obviously we work together. And she has been at Memorial Drive. She has nothing on this sheet, so I didn't say it all. She has been at Memorial Drive as the children's minister there.
15 years,
and it was quite a few. 15 years she's been there. And when I started 11 years ago. She had already been there, and she's really directed me in a whole lot of ways, been a huge mentor to me, and has become one of my very best friends. So I really love working with her and love getting to know her family and everyone. Memorial Drive, oh, she has a family, by the way. She has a husband and two daughters that are right back there, and she has a son-in-law that the girl with the red is red. Anyway, and they're both out of college, both went to OC, and Linda has a degree, bachelor's and a master's in education. Mm-hmm. And the makeup of Memorial is, there's probably about 600 members at Memorial. Our children's ministry is probably about 150 kids. Very diverse also, a lot of outreach that goes on. We don't have a bus ministry, but there's a lot of outreach of kids that come from, you know, around the area, brought in by other people that, you know, parentless kids, I guess you would say. And, anyway, it's a very,
very diverse.
Very diverse. Yeah. So, sorry, that you probably could have said that a lot better than me. So anyway, that's who you're working with right on the panel. So to give you a little bit of an idea of who they are. I have a few questions that they're going to start out with just so you could kind of see into them. And I've emailed them these questions. So they're going to give us a brief answer to these three questions. And then after that, we will open up questions to you. Please be creative and think of all kinds of awesome questions for them. Challenge them. See if we can stumble them. I would love that. Okay, the first question, why do you like to serve in children's ministry? Very basic question, but this kind of lets you look into their heart, and we will start with Linda.
Okay, because I love kids. I taught school before I became a children's minister, and I just love kids. I love sharing Jesus with... Oh, sorry. I love kids, and I love sharing Jesus with kids, and I love what I learn from them. And so that's why I do children's ministry.
I think it's one of the requirements to love kids to work in children's ministry. I think so. So that's kind of part of my answer too. I love being with the kids and being in the classroom with them and just kind of seeing them when they make connections. They either understand what we're talking about in class, or they've made a connection of something we've talked about in the Bible versus and how it connects to their life. And I just love seeing those connections that they make and knowing that God is working in them, and I have a little part to do with that, and that's just amazing to me. That's fine.
I love working in children's ministry because I want to do away with the invisible child. I want every child that walks through our church doors or across my path to know two things, that Jesus loves them and I love them. And so that's what I just really try to just sponge them up with, is God's love. And that's very important to me.
I love children's ministry because of the opportunities that it provides. I mean, loving kids is certainly, everything that they said is exactly what I would say amen to. But there, I've seen too many times how many children have led entire families into service in the church. And had it not been for a bus ministry when I was five, I don't know that I would be at this table today. So, you know, children's ministry is really a doorway through which, you know, so many wonderful things can happen, that children are so honest and so pure. They're just real. And so that's what really gets my blood going, is whenever I know that the kids are connecting and sharing their faith and bringing their daddies to church. I mean, there's nothing better. Nothing better.
All right. Thank you. The second question, if you could share one piece of advice to anyone serving in children's ministry, what would that be? This is very broad, so it kind of opens a lot of doors. So we will start with Laura this time.
Thanks. My piece of advice would be to ask the questions that you need to ask and say the things you need to say, whether it's to parents in the children's ministry or to other ministers on staff or to elders that you work with, and then decide how you can take those answers, whether to use them to promote change or to work within, that sort of thing. But that's mine.
I'll go this way.
Oh, sure. One piece of advice. Boy, I just don't know. When you come, I was not called when I first became a Christian to actually work with children. What happened was I just was plucked. There was just a giant need, and I left myself open to everything that God had for me during those first 5 years at that little bitty church. And my husband and I just left ourselves open. And we answered, you know, the phone, and we did what was needed. And that's basically what you have to do. You have to leave yourself open if you're going to want to work with kids. Because when you get a child, you never know what that child is going to bring you. You know, had one come through that I was afraid was being abused. And so I learned how to handle that. And you just have to be open. You can't close doors on kids. So just be open.
My advice, if it was to children's ministers, would be that you are their voice. You are the voice for the children. And so it's your job to be their voice, to be tuned in, to know how decisions that are made in staff meetings or elders meetings, how that will affect the children, how that will affect the parents of those children. And so you are their voice, and you have to always keep that before you, that you are their voice. And so That would be my one piece of advice.
I'm like, Will, they've said a lot of things that I would have said, but my answer to this question is to you personally, and that is have a support system. Because a lot of times when you work with kids, you're kind of isolated sometimes from the rest of the congregation. And so a support system to me is just very vital for you. And Stacy and I are blessed because we work together and we complement each other, but we've also got husbands that bring things to our ministry, and now our kids are bringing things also as a support system. So that would be the thing I would say to have.
Okay. And the last question that they have prepared for you is, what is one of the most memorable or favorite lessons you have ever taught in children's ministry? And we will start with Connie.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. We get to do a camp called Impact. And when I started children's ministry, my mentor, who still goes to church with us, said, you have to kick up your lessons a whole new level. And so my very first year, I was given the miracle of Jesus, where the roof opened and the lame man fell through with, you know, down with his friends holding him. And I got to teach that in a way that the Holy Spirit really led me. Took a cot without the legs and just the poles, and had children be the lame man. And then a counselor got on, and I hadn't planned that part. And so I called all the kids up to lift him, and then sent all the kids one by one away as they were being distracted by life's worries, so that the counselor fell. The four kids left with him had to put him down. And I equated that to church life, and how when we're lifting up people and helping their needs, when 10 of us get distracted and we leave, then that need is not being met, and that we are all part of the body. And that really was one of my most memorable lessons. I just really loved that. And the kids seemed to take away a piece of what church means and what service means.
For me, it was about 10 years ago, we started a program in Fort Worth called Roadmap, and it was a mission and prayer journey that several of the network children's ministries did. And one of the lessons that we taught was on the five-finger prayer. And we were, you know, teaching that for 13 weeks prior to the rally that we all assembled together for. And just seeing 250 kids gathered in a huge circle to say a prayer in unison, but notice my kids were looking at their hand trying to, you know, remember what those fingers were. You know, it just showed me that children are hungry for, children are spiritual beings, and they're so hungry to be in touch with the Lord and to have a relationship with Him. And so prayer, a great avenue for that. And it just touched me to see them, you know, really desire to remember all those elements. You know, that was very memorable to me.
Well, when Stacy asked us this question, I turned to my family, and I knew what they were going to say. But several years ago, you know, the Bible Hour teacher didn't show up, and I was standing there going, okay, what are we going to do, you know? And my husband happens to be very dramatic, so we went into Bible Hour, and we did the whole story of Moses. I was a storyteller, and he acted all of the parts. And my kids are 22, and that is the story they remember. They have never forgotten it. And I was so, when they first said that, I was like, how disappointing. I've spent hours on other lessons that did not make that impact. And then it dawned on me, we had been studying Moses for weeks in another class that I'd been in, and God had been preparing me for that Sunday all that time. But my first reaction was, I did nothing, and they, you know, they remembered that lesson. So.
Okay. Excuse me.
Hang on.
Laura. Laura gets to.
Sorry. My most memorable lesson was probably the first one that I actually created all the parts of it. I had taught classes before, but it was curriculum handed to me, and I just did what was written down. But my first one that I actually created all the pieces to and came up with all the ideas of what to do with it was the walls of Jericho, and coming up with building the walls out of boxes and putting a red piece of cloth and having the kids walk around and actually act it out, and the walls falling down is probably one of my favorites over the years. And I've done other classes that I've really enjoyed. But that one I can just keep going back to, and it works for just about all the ages. And it's just one of those that, I don't know, it's the first one I did. And
it's in your
and it stuck, yeah. So that's fine.
Okay. So as you can tell, these questions kind of expose you a little bit to their hearts and their creativity and where they're from. And so now, if you guys have any questions, just open it up to anything you would like to ask them. If it's just general, you could just say to any one of them. If it's specific, you could ask a particular person. Anybody have any questions? Yes.
Best ideas for places to get curriculum resources, ideas, cheap.
I have a children's education minister, and she just goes online. We like Karen Henley's stuff.
I like Karen.
But there's lots of stuff out there. Sunday school, I think it's Sunday School Fun Zone. And I think you have to be a member, but I'm not sure if it, she takes care of all of that. But I go on when I have to throw a class together for someone. I'll go on there and find something. It'll have your objectives and what your goals for that class and your crafts and everything. So that's the internet is a great place. Mm-hmm. I just put in Moses Bible story, and I get all this just flood of stuff
for free.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, for free. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to add to that?
Internet's great, and your peers, you know, ask around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did that answer your question?
A little bit.
Anybody else have any other questions?
Call Park Plaza. We'll help you out.
He's a curriculum writer.
That's right. He writes all the
impact stuff.
Okay, while y'all are thinking of more really good questions, I'm going to go ahead. I've got some questions in the back of my mind that I am ready to ask them so y'all can think of really, really hard ones. That was a good one, but it was kind of easy. So the question I'm going to ask, one of the rising concerns in children's ministry these days is security. And I know... I've got some great videos I can show you. But
are we talking job security or the security of the children?
Yeah,
no, there's not.
Security.
Like security as far as kids.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if we deal with it here, you know, when we've got all these kids saying, we want to leave, you know, like, wait for your parents. It's a tough job. And somebody came up to me the other day and said, Stacy, I thought signing in kids and checking out kids was easy, but that's high pressure. And I'm like, yeah, it is. You lose a kid, you're in big trouble, you know. So there's a lot of security beyond just check in, check out. There's security beyond, you know, who's in your classroom? How do you know who's in your classroom? And whenever you're so desperate for teachers, what are the boundaries, and what does your church do in particular? Which I imagine, because all of these churches are so different, that every security measure is probably pretty diverse. So if you guys wouldn't mind each of you sharing that, I would really appreciate it. We could start with Will because he hasn't started yet.
Okay. We have. One of the big security issues for us is a food allergy issue. You know, that's safety, has to do with protecting your kids with food allergies. So one of the things that we do at Park Plaza is post, anytime we're doing a food snack, we try to post that information, what's being served, so that parents who have, we have 5 or 6 kids who have some pretty severe food allergies that could threaten their life. And so we always post anytime we're using foods that are have gluten or peanuts or, you know, it's just whatever those food allergies are. And I have those kids up here. You know, I know what kids can't have. You know, Jacob can't have anything with cheese or we're going to a funeral. I mean, you know, you just keep that in the back of your mind. We also like to have a 2-on-2 system as far as the with children in the Bible class, and if we can't have 2, then we have a roamer who walks the halls and checks on the rooms throughout the Bible class. And all of our classrooms have windows, and if there's one room that doesn't have a window, and that door stays open. So that's kind of how we accommodate the 2-on-2 system. We have stickers and things that we use for check-in, check-out. But really, our kids are safe in our class. It's when they leave my care that I really get concerned, because I know that we have registered sex offenders at Park Plaza, and I know that we have people who have served their time, but they are in a transition house that Park Plaza has agreed to host these members reintroducing themselves into society. And those are concerns, you know, and I think a lot of parents have in their mind that church is the safest place they could be, and so their kids can run free, and it's just not. We have 31 exits at Park Plaza. And that is dangerous. And so just trying to keep parents aware that they shouldn't have they shouldn't be so relaxed that they don't know where their children are at all times. And so that's kind of where that's what we do.
Okay.
Security-wise.
Okay. At Memorial, we do several different things. One thing we have the Raptor program, which we run all of our volunteers through that, and that does a security screening on them. And it also updates us if something happens later on. And so each of our teachers have a security tag that they are to wear when they're in the classroom. We also do the two in the classroom, and we have just started making them over the age of 18, which was really hard for us because we like our teen helpers, and we're still using our teen helpers, but we're having two people over the age of 18. And as you know, it's hard to get volunteers as it is, much less, but we just feel like we're like Will. We have sex offenders that we know are at Memorial. We have other things that we just really have to be careful about the kids. Mm-hmm. We use a program called Stranger Danger. Isn't that right? That's the name.
Forgot the official name. It's Safe Side Super Chick.
Safe Side. And it talks about safe people, who safe people are, and we show it regularly and talk to the kids about that. Like Will said, our biggest thing is making the parents realize that they need to walk them to class, they need to pick them up from class. We know the kids know the building, but we need them to do that. We use the sticker system in Bible Hour, and the parents have a sticker, and if they can't come pick them up, they can send somebody with that sticker. But it is one of the things that consumes a lot of our time, but it's so important that we keep the kids safe while they're there. But it's a hard part of our job right now.
I know I'm not supposed to do this because I'm not on the panel, but on the Safe Side DVD that we show, there's a whole website for that, and there's curriculum that you could use. You could make it a quarterly thing. We say we're going to do it every 6 months, and to us it's boring to show a video. And so it's something we tend to put off, but we did it before workshop because we're like, workshop's coming up, there's going to be visitors, there's going to be, But it is it's a fun DVD. My kids have watched it probably about 25 times, my own children, because it's just fun and entertaining. And then, like I said, there is a curriculum, and so if you wanted to follow it up with any activities to reinforce what they've learned, it just talks about who your safe side adults are, who you could trust, and stuff like that. And we just emphasize to the kids all the time, just because you're at church doesn't mean everybody here is a safe side adult. You need to make sure that you know who they are. So it's a good program, and it helps the kids be aware. Of course, they all leave like looking like we'd rather be more cautious than be a victim. So,
and there's an IdentiKid has grant money that they can provide, check in, check out software, either cheap or free. I know a lot of schools do that, and so you can, if budget, starting up a security program is very costly. So if budget is an issue, you can contact IdentiKid, and they can probably give you some help with that as far as a reduced rate for software and things like that you could use, minimal.
Memorial also got a discount on their church insurance when we started doing that kind of stuff. So that was another, thing we could.
Can I ask a follow-up on that?
Sure.
So what about kids that, like so many do bus ministry, and what about kids that are just coming from the community, we're in a small town, we get a ton of kids that come, especially on Wednesday night, all by themselves, walk into church, all from the neighborhood, whatever, and they're just, on their own. What do you do to help keep them safe?
We, at Mayfair, we've recently gotten more on the security thing. We hadn't for a long time had any of the name tags or any of that sort of stuff. And so just since January, I've really started to try and make sure we have forms for every kid of emergency contact information and releases for them to ride our bus to church. And I have just name tags I made on Word and put them in a lanyard in a thing that they wear when they are at church. And that way, when they're at church, they wear the lanyard and we know that they're our responsibility. When the lanyard is taken off, that means they're in their parents' responsibility. For our bus kids, they wear it the entire time they're at church. So if anyone sees them, they know they're my responsibility. If anything happens, they come to me, sort of thing. We have some kids that just walk in, and I try to communicate with the parents, or I have friends of our bus kids that come, and I let them come. Well, they can come as much as they want, but I try to, they come once and then give them forms and try to get those forms filled out on them for the next time they come. I don't always get them right then. I have about half of my bus kids that have turned in forms. And I, every time I see the parents, I'm like, have you filled that form out yet? I need, you know, it's for your kid's safety. I really need it back just in case anything happens. And so I try to make sure we have those releases and those forms filled out on them. And I'm sure there's more, but that's all I'm thinking.
Yeah. I have a software that is check-in. We only use it for Bible classes. And my hallway door's locked down. And so if you're late for class, you have to come find me to let you in. Which is, the parents don't always like, but that's just the way it is. You can't get in the hallway once I lock it down. And all of my preschools have to be picked up by their parents. Upstairs, once they're in first grade, I figure they're with their friends and they're safe. But just like him, I have a real issue with parents thinking that church is a safe place. And I talk to them one-on-one, you know, and try to get them to understand that the safety of their children is their responsibility, that I can do what I can do, but I can't chase 200 children around. Mm-hmm. So...
Anybody want to add to that?
One other thing that we've had to do for our outreach activities, like our fall festival and that kind of stuff, we've had to start requiring that they come with an adult. And I was really concerned about that because I didn't know, but it has not hurt our attendance at all, and it's given us a chance to get to mm-hmm. know the parents and stuff. They will come with them.
So. Anybody else? Okay. Do you have any other questions? Yes, Debbie?
How do you recruit volunteers?
That's the famous children's ministry question. How do you recruit volunteers?
Guilt.
All right, we're not going to start with Will. We'll start with Linda.
Okay. Well, Stacy does a lot of this, so...
Let's start with Stacy.
One thing at Memorial, we are beginning to be extremely blessed with people that are starting to have a passion for children's ministry. In the fall, we're starting the story, which we're excited about, and we have several of our teachers that want to teach the whole time. I mean, they want to stay. They are really getting into the kids' lives, and they really want to. Now, we have other situations that's not the case. We make a lot of phone calls, a lot of personal asking, mm-hmm. and that consumes a lot of our time. But something about Memorial, a sign-up sheet just does not work. I mean, if we ask them, they'll do it, but they will not sign up. I mean, you know. So we have also gotten coordinators that help us do a lot of our calling now, and it also helps because they don't caller ID Stacy and I anymore, so it's a new name, so they answer the phone, you know. So, but, and part of it is just getting people that are excited about what they do and getting them in there, you know, because sometimes if you can just get them in there, they'll be hooked once they get in there, you know. And we also don't make them sign a life commitment.
Right.
If mm-hmm. you come in, we ask you for 3 months, usually, or Bible hour, it's a couple of weeks, and we're not going to come back and say, oh, you got to stay. We get them out of there, even if Stacy and I have to pull it. We mm-hmm. do, because we think that's really important not to say to them it's for 2 weeks and then end up being 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, mine's not a lifetime commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Anything?
I guess I'm to say, but oh, okay. I do a lot of personal asking. I put it in the bulletin, and that just lets the body know that Connie's on the prowl, and I'm going to be looking.
Be ready.
And when I don't get to go to assembly very often, but when I do, I notice people looking at their Bibles as I'm walking through, because they know I'm probably looking for somebody to help me in the nursery, because my nursery attendants didn't show up for that worship assembly. But I've got some really good, I've got 65 volunteers that are just amazing. And it's personal. You have to, I don't want you if you don't want to be in there. Mm-hmm. And the first grumble I hear, I get you out, you know. So it's personal. You have to take it personal. And just, if you have to beg, sometimes I beg, don't I, Betty? But check-in stations up has to have volunteers, you know. And so you just beg people. That's how I do it.
At Mayfair, I feel like we have a very small pool of volunteers to draw from, because we have a young adult age, and then what would be the age above that, there aren't very many of them at all, and then we have the much older people. And the older ones feel like they've already served their time and taught when their kids were younger, and then we have the young adults who are the young parents. And so I feel like we have a hard time recruiting for that reason. But we do have a couple of teachers that will be there and help us out. Within the past year, we have implemented a team teaching approach. And so we recruit people to be on a team, and we try to get that team to have at least 8 people, but then they decide amongst their team when they teach throughout the year. And so they make the decision if they want to teach. I like for it to be at least 2 months, because especially with the younger ones, you need more consistency. But they decide how much at a time they want to teach and when during the year they want to teach, and so they make sure the year is covered as much as they can, and if they need any help, or they call their team for subs if they're not going to be there, and that sort of thing. And so that way we're kind of the last line if they've asked their team and they can't find anyone, and then they come to us, and then we either fill in or find someone else. And that has worked pretty well over the past year. There's been one class that's been really hard to find a team to really work for. But overall, it's worked out well. We still have a hard time of keeping 2 teachers in the classroom, and a lot of times there's one, and we try to have the roamer, usually me or my partner, and try to check on the classes periodically. And so we make sure we have more than one the younger they are. But as it gets to the older ages, we have a real hard time finding enough to have 2 in the classroom. So we really, the team teacher approach has helped. It could definitely be better, but we definitely struggle with that, recruiting, being a smaller church, and just the makeup of our members. It's difficult.
I think a comment about Memorial that we have had and are very blessed in the fact that we've got some teachers who do teach all year long. And actually, most of them are older. The people that are in our nursery are in their 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. and they love it. And they're in there all the time. So sometimes if you can get them back there in our kindergarten class, they're older than we are, I think. That's old. and then related to teach taught 4 and 5s is taught for years, and mm-hmm. just don't give up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes mm-hmm. if you get them back, it's like you talk getting hooked. Sometimes it's just
they are hooked. They are hooked. I try to give them breaks. I'm like, you know, just whenever you want somebody to come in, let me know. And mm-hmm. I don't know how many years it's been since at least 4 of our classes, the teachers just won't leave.
Yeah. It is their ministry. I mean, Stacy and I have not walked in a baby class. I haven't in over 15 years. That is that couple's ministry, and they get the helpers. We communicate with them, and we know what's going on, but that is theirs. Those babies, mm-hmm. and they are doing an awesome outreach with it, so.
Most of my teachers are my age or older. Just because that's what they want to do.
Steady.
I found, with the younger ones, new grandmas to get the new grandmas and grandpas. in and they'll come in.
Put
and
them in their grandchild's class.
And
yeah.
then I hook them. Yeah.
Lots of prayer over them, too.
Yes, prayer is huge.
Lots of prayer over them.
It's very hands. Right here, and then I'll...
So I teach businesses pray, which is kind of that awkward. They don't really fit in with the children anymore. They're, you know, that.
Mm-hmm.
And the drama you talked about works great with them. Mm-hmm. But do you have any other ideas, anything to really make them, like you said, get that connection, and anything wrong in other than the dramatic presentation? Something to kind of speak to a little bit of maturity, but not too much?
We're doing something at Memorial right now that I love, and it's way out of my comfort zone. We have divided them into a girls and a boys class, and Stacy's doing the boys, and she's having a little bit of struggle, but it's going good. But with the girls, what I'm doing is I'm bringing in different ladies in the congregation, and we're spending a lot of time in prayer. And it's they are really making an impact on me, the things that they pray for. But we spend quite a bit of our class in prayer, and then we're talking about women of the Bible and the different talents. And like in a week, I'm having a young girl come in, and she's going to teach them to knit headbands that we're sending to Honduras this year.
Wow, cool.
And we've done some other things like that, and the girls eat it up. My class is huge because those girls tell their friends, but the thing I love the most is just the prayer time, because they very much pray for each other in there. It's just really neat. And then I'll let you tell what you're doing with the boys.
The boys class, my first week I tried to go along service project for In Mind, and my first class was a disaster just because they were the same boys I've taught for years. But when I just let the girls out, then the boys is just like, we're all boys. And I'm like, oh. And so I've just had to restructure that, because that was just 1 week, and I left kind of wanting to quit my job. I restructured it, and just the basic. You can't have one thing going on in your class. You got to have like five things, especially for boys, and you got to move them. You got to move them. Have this over here in this corner of your room, and then go over here and have this. And I think that whole thing is more for boys than girls. And what I tried to do was just too much. So we did the first part of the service project, the first 10 minutes, and then we went over here and did a game, and then we went over here and did the lesson, and then we came back at the end and finished the service project. And so for me, the boys, you know, I just learned my lesson that they're not going to sit and do a whole service project in one setting. So, but it's good, and that's kind of what we're going along as service project. The one we did was also for Honduras kids. We took some old T-shirts and we cut them in strips, and I taught the boys how to braid, and they braid the strands of T-shirt together and make them into a necklace, and they made two matching ones, and then one was for them and one was for the kid in Honduras. And my helper is actually going to Honduras, and so she was able to tell them a lot about what she does there and all that. And then she said, I'll take a picture of whoever I give this to so you'll know who you're praying for and stuff like that. So that was one that we did. The one that didn't go well, just in case you think about doing it, was we have a ministry on Sunday afternoons where it's called Project Tulsa at our church, where there's a team that goes out to downtown Tulsa, and they just hand out water and hot dogs and cookies and whatever every Sunday afternoon, and they have four stops. And so I was like, wouldn't it be so neat if we took the water bottles, can I use this?
Sure.
We took the water bottles and had the kids write a message to the people, you know, a verse or, you know, God loves you, or draw a picture and sign their first name to it. It's like, that would really personalize it. Okay, they didn't like it. That might be something more for the girls to do, because it's real artsy. But the boys really did like the braids. They loved braiding, and it was pretty much the same group of boys. But it was, to them, it's like, you're going to teach us how to braid? And I'm like, yeah. And they learned, and they did it, and they loved it. And so, anyway, but just stuff like that, you know.
But dividing them sometimes at that age really helps.
Knowing who doesn't work with who, separating them out, doing centers.
Plus, at that age, those fifth and sixth grade kids are questioning their faith. I mean, some of them are questioning whether they want to be a Christian, and so they're really looking for authenticity. You know, they see what goes on when mom and dad aren't putting on a show at church, and so doing things that help them see what it's like to be authentic in their faith, and to be, you know, back to this word real. I really think that goes a long way, is to help them discover their spiritual gifts and what they can do to be authentic and to serve. I think that goes a long way with that age group as well.
And most of them absolutely love it. A lot of my, I know I'm not on the panel, I need to stop talking. A lot of my fifth grade girls, their passion is to want to help and want to serve. And sometimes I have to force them, sit down and learn. But that, I mean, that is where they feel connected. They just want to be doing stuff. But, you know, they want to feel important and do that. And I've got a few. I could, if we didn't have to have the two 18-year-olds, I wouldn't need it, because these girls are some of the best help I've ever had. And they will, and you don't feel as bad telling a 10-year-old what to do than what you do than another adult. You know, go get me some scissors. Go do this, you know. It's a little more awkward telling your adult helpers. So the kids just are like, okay, can I do it, please? You know, so.
Well, please. Speaking of being real, in my fourth, fifth, and sixth grade on Sunday mornings, I have men in there so that these kids can see men serve. And on Wednesday night, I combine my fourth, fifth, and sixth, and I have a man teaching them. And I think that helps them see real men loving Jesus, which some of them don't have any men in their lives at all, because we also have some outreach. And my husband, I had to drag him into the fourth grade class because I just had to have him, and he's been doing it 3 years now, and you know, it's great.
We are honestly out of time for our panel, and I know there were other hands up, but maybe y'all could like corner them after the class during the break. We're going to have like a 10-minute break, and if you guys are willing to let people just come up and ask y'all personal questions while we have our break, and you need to run to the restroom if you need to do any of that. But please come back, because you will really enjoy what Stacy has to share with us. And so thank you all very much for your questions. Thank you.
Sure.